Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. This is Bronco Tuesday, where we discuss the Olympic sports at Boise State. Now here are Paul J. Schneider, Chris Walton, and the voice of the Broncos, Bob Beeler, on 670 KBOI.
And top of the morning, golf in the house this morning. Head coach Dan Potter is here, along with freshman golfer Ryan Humphreys, who's got a stranglehold on Mountain West Golfer of the Week. I'll tell you what, for a freshman coach to win, what, three? Now, that's pretty incredible stuff.
Yeah, he's been awesome. It's tough to win in our sport, period. And for a freshman to come in and have the kind of success he's had, he's won two tournaments now. He's been in the top three four times. And so we've got more to go. So we're looking forward to seeing what he can do down the stretch here.
So, Brian, what has been the secret to your success so far? Not only are you winning, but you're also, even when you're not winning, you're right there. So that gives your team great scores.
I think just making sure that I'm coming into every tournament as prepared as I can be, so that I'm comfortable on the course with my swing and just able to execute the shots I want to when I actually get there.
Coach, after trailing a Cal Poly by 8 strokes, you came back to win the Del Walker Intercollegiate. And a team effort like this, hard to make up 8 strokes.
It is, but it's definitely doable in the team format, because we've got 5 guys competing and we're taking the low 4 score. So when you look at 4 players over 18 holes, you can't have pretty big swings. And so, I knew that being 8 strokes back going into the final round, that was well within the realm of possibility for our guys. And fortunately, they didn't get off to a very good start that final round, but then kind of corrected things in the middle and ended well. And you got to be around the lead sometimes, and you never know what's going to happen, and things went our way. So it was a lot of fun.
Eagle by Mason Schultz didn't hurt.
That didn't hurt. Those never do. To eagle the last hole, and it was a par 5 where a lot could happen, and you make an eagle, and a couple guys finished well, and it was great.
So, Brian, what does it feel like? I mean, I would think winning the tournament individually is great, but I think winning a golf tournament as a team is hard. You've got anywhere from usually 12 to 15 teams in it. So what does it feel like when you get the double? You win the whole thing and you win yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot more uncommon than most sports to win as a team in golf, and it's just that much more gratifying when it only happens occasionally, because our team, you know, just really gets excited for every win we get. And it was great getting a win with the team on this one, because it was just kind of that double feeling of, you know, happiness over what we've achieved. So
this weekend, Coach, you're going to go to Bandon, Oregon, to the Bandon Dudes Invitational. Tell us a little bit about the course and who you're going to be facing.
Well, it's an exciting one. It's one that stands out on our schedule. Bandon Dunes is one of the premier golf resorts anywhere in the country, really. It's become quite a destination. There's several courses out there that are ranked in the top 100 in the world. Not the easiest place to get to, but Gonzaga has hosted this tournament for the last several years, and because of just the job that they've done, they've got an elite field. We're going to play some big hitters out there. The defending national champion Oregon Ducks will be there. I know Texas Tech, Texas A&M, and some other really, really top programs. And to get to play against those teams at this kind of a venue, you know, I don't know that these guys realize just how good they have it to be able to do what we'll do this week.
Different feel, Brian, when you're playing in a threesome. It's usually a threesome, right?
Yeah.
With really high caliber golfers.
Is it a different feel?
I mean, is it a different feel? And if you're playing with Paul J, who's Bob decent, and I'm terrible.
Well, I enjoy it. I mean, I think that you really feed off each other, and this will be a great chance to play with different teams that we haven't played. A lot of top 25 teams, and it's just a chance for me to see how my game stacks up against, you know, the top players in the country. And it's an opportunity that we don't really get. So, I mean, yeah, I think, and it's definitely always a perk to play with other good players. Well, I'm sure that you are.
Oh, no. Paul J. seen me play. Talent and golf are not two words I would use in the same sentence.
No.
My brother got all the golf talent in the family.
Yeah, Bob and I aren't going to draw big galleries when we got to play, because they might get hit. strong part of your game? What kind of golfer are you? Short game, good, great putter, entire game, drive the ball out of sight. What's your game?
Definitely not drive the ball out of sight. I would say generally my rock is kind of my putting and my short game. I'd say that's why my performances are pretty consistent. If I'm not striking the ball well, I usually am making quite a few putts from like inside 10 feet and just kind of keeping the score around par. So,
Dan, can you change somebody's game as a coach, or is it more accentuating what somebody does well? I mean, what you got somebody in here, you're going to have Brian for 4 years.
Yeah.
How does somebody's game change or develop as they're there?
You know, so I've got 10 players on my team, and there's 10 different individuals and 10 totally different players. I would add to Brian's comments about his game, his maturity on and off the course is well beyond his years for a freshman in college. And it shows up in competition. It shows up every day in practice and when he's going to school and when he's doing anything. So that's a huge deal. And you know, everybody's got some little things that they can certainly be better at. I would say the ones that get good are a lot of times the best at identifying what those things are and kind of understanding how to improve. And so as a coach, that's where I step in and try to help guys kind of identify what things that they can be better at and hopefully some ways that they can improve. But then ultimately it's an individual sport and they have a lot of time. And it's up to them to kind of, you know, take that next step. And you find as a coach, I mean, it's always your very best players that are coming to you and asking for that kind of feedback and asking for ways to get better. And it's no coincidence. They're the ones that are thinking that way and trying to take those strides forward.
We're talking with Coach Dan Potter and freshman golfer Brian Humphries. It's 8:45.
Now back to Bronco Tuesday on 670 KBOI.
All right, golf in the house this morning. Coach Dan Potter is here along with freshman golfer Brian Humphries. Talking off mic a minute ago, most of these guys have their own swing instructor, their own, but you coach them a little bit on strategy, right, as well as aspects of the game?
Certainly. We talk a lot about strategy, so we get a practice round everywhere we go, and that's our time to really look at the course and kind of put a strategy together. But I have the advantage when I'm out and my assistant coach is out watching that, you know, we're less emotionally attached to their round and kind of the strategy that they need to use to play the course. A lot of times if you're a couple over par, then you might want to be suddenly more aggressive on a spot where it really doesn't make sense. And so, you know, and vice versa, you know, so we definitely help them with the strategy and try to help them, you know, control their emotions a little bit and kind of put things in context. So we wear a lot of different hats when we're out coaching.
When you're on the practice round, do you sometimes maybe hit it somewhere just to see what it might be like? I mean, are you not playing to get the best score, but do you want to see different things about the course?
You know, if we've never been to a course before, I like our guys to kind of play and play out their ball and shoot a score to really get a feel for what a good score is on that course. And just kind of, you know, you've got five of them. So even if they play out, then you're going to spend extra time kind of chipping and putting around the green. So a big thing that we'll do is, you know, try to make an educated guess on where the hole locations are going to be. And from there, you determine where you can and can't miss it around those holes to have your best chance of getting it up and in if you do miss. And you're looking at lines off of tees and what gives you the best chance to be in the fairway and to score.
So who charted? You charted or do you chart?
Both. Yeah. So
Brian will chart and you'll chart. Back with Bob Beeler for a couple more minutes. Big, exciting week. Favorite week of the year for me. Well, two favorite weeks, this week, tournament week, and next week, first and second round of the NCAA tournament. You're going to be busy.
Yeah, Chris Lewis will have the women's game today at 3:30 on KTIK AM, Boise State to 4. They've won 7 in a row. They'll face New Mexico. And then Boise State's men will have to await a winner from Wednesday. San Diego State and UNLV, the 6-11 will play on Thursday. Boise State will face the winner. It'll be a 9:30 tip, 9 o'clock pregame show. So I advise people that you might want to take some naps this week because Boise State, it seems like Boise State gets late games no matter what the sport. I'm surprised, of course, they can't play at night in golf, but I'll bet you they get late tee offs as well.
Yeah, they probably couldn't finish because of darkness.
Exactly.
Golf team. Yeah. Chandler Hutchison, by the way, this morning, named to the U.S. BWA All-District 8 team. He's one of seven from the conference on the 11-player team.
And it's basically a group of sort of Intermountain West states that they choose it from. The coaches poll coming out today at 11. I'm going to be interested to see the five. They put on the first team. Chandler got second team on the media. And I want to say that I was not asked to vote on the media. I would have voted him on the first team.
No question. It's four straight year, by the way. The Broncos have had a guy on the district team. James Webb last year, Derek Marks the year before, Dremick the year before that. All right, KBOI News Time, 8:56. Idaho Talks Live comes up after a news break at the top of the hour.
If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
House GOP defending the Obamacare replacement bill as we speak. Representative Greg Walden is up there. They've had a couple of different congressmen up there. We'll talk about that in a bit. I saw.
Yeah, Greg Walden's just from over in Oregon.
So. Yeah. I saw this this morning. Stephen Hawking, you're familiar.
Sure.
Norse.
Yeah.
Physicist.
The theory of everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
Stephen Hawking is again raising the alarm that humankind needs to shape up if it wants to survive. Huh? In an interview with the Times, Hawking reiterated that humankind faces a slew of threats ranging from climate change to mass species extinction.
Mm-hmm.
He noted that technological advances have helped humans achieve seemingly insurmountable feats, but says it could all lead to our demise.
Does he have advice about how to prevent that?
Of course.
Okay.
You know me well.
Well, yeah.
Since civilization began, aggression has been useful in as much as it has definite survival advantages, he said. It's hardwired into our genes by Darwinian evolution. Now, however, technology has advanced at such a pace that this aggression may destroy us all by nuclear or biological war. We need to control this inherited instinct by logic and reason.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what is invented. Generally, it can be used for good or it can be used for bad.
Boy, is that the truth. Despite issues facing humankind, there may be hope for our survival. Well, one would hope there'd be hope.
Tell us how.
Hawking says we all have to work together.
Uh-oh. I mean, that's a good idea.
We need to be quicker to identify such threats and act before they get out of control. Now, here comes what nobody's going to like. This might mean some form of world government. What could possibly go wrong with world government? You got it. A lot.
Well, yeah, okay. And I mean, right now in the Idaho legislature, they're doing a few things that are simply to, probably more symbolically than anything else, try to avoid going straight to a world government.
Yeah. Yeah. A world government could become a tyranny, he told the Times.
And then what do you do?
All of this may sound a bit doom-laden, but I am an optimist. Seriously, Stephen?
We're doomed, but I am an optimist.
I think the human race.
You belong to the optimist club, then.
Yeah, I think the human race will rise to meet these challenges. Hawking, who was recently given the honorary Freedom of the City of London, also told the Times, London Times, obviously, mm-hmm. that he's happy with the life he's lived and is looking forward to the future. I travel widely. I've been to Antarctica and have met presidents of Korea, China, India, Ireland, Chile, and the United States. I've met four popes. I've been in a submarine. I've been up on a zero-gravity flight in preparation for the flight into space that I'm still hoping to make. It's a great time to be alive.
I mean, and as we know, this is a guy who can't physically, he cannot move.
Can't do it.
Essentially,
anything.
He's paralyzed.
Yep.
But he has the ability of speech simply because of,
technology.
Of technology,
yeah.
Exactly.
This isn't the first time the science superstar suggested that humankind must get its act together. In the past, Hawking has suggested that humankind may only have 1,000 years left. And then we'll need to find another planet.
You know, I wonder what percentage of people would really care if you said there were only 1,000 years left.
Do you?
I get maybe Hindus would care since they believe in reincarnation, but...
Do you?
Well, yeah. I don't want to ruin the planet for future whatever we're going to have.
Yeah.
Robots and whatnot.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So Skynet.
Stephen Hawking cheering us up on a Tuesday morning. Only 1,000 years left.
Exactly.
I better go buy some shirts. KBOI News Time, 9:12.
Idaho Talks Live. Today at 1, listen to Savage on 670 KBOI.
KBOY News Time, 9:16. It's Idaho Talks Live. You mentioned that we were going to talk about the new Republican plan for health care.
Not everybody's happy.
No, not everybody.
Who's unhappy is conservative or liberal.
Well, that's also a good point. Representative Jason Chaffetz of Utah, he's a Republican.
Let's give the rewards code.
That's a good plan.
KBOY rewards code SURVIVE, SURVIVE. Survive. Go to 670KBOI.com. Enter Survive. Earn today's 5,000 rewards points. Here's Chris.
Now, I'm going to go ahead and read this. And there are some, especially those who are a little more conservative, who will think this is absolutely the right thing to say and do. And then there are those on a little further left who will think it's heinous. But I don't know. Representative Jason Chaffetz, congressman from Utah, Republican, is proposing a quick fix for low-income Americans unable to afford coverage under President Trump's newly proposed health care law. He says, don't buy an iPhone. The American Health Care Act, which was unveiled by House Republican leaders this morning, offers less financial assistance to low-income people than former President Obama's Affordable Care Act, so it would likely result in a lot of Americans, possibly millions, losing the health coverage that they have today because it would transfer the responsibility of their own health care to themselves, at least paying for it, maybe. But the Republican chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, that's Chaffetz, said today that Americans who might struggle to afford insurance under the GOP plan simply need to make the choice to invest in health care. Now, first of all...
So he says...
There's good and bad in this. I mean, yes, personal responsibility is a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yes.
And the people who take care of their personal responsibilities generally don't need very much help, especially from the government or the people as a whole. However, basically he's saying you need to manage your money better, and there are certain people who are saying, what money? We've never had any money.
So Chaffetz is saying, basically... Don't buy a cell phone.
Yeah, if you can't afford technology, don't buy technology. If you only have just a basic amount of money, then spend it on the basics, like, for instance, taking care of yourself. Now, he says Americans have choices, and they've got to make a choice. So rather than getting that new iPhone that they just love and want to go spend hundreds of dollars on that, maybe they should invest in their own health care. They've got to make those decisions themselves. Okay, so he's gotten down to at least the middle to lower part of the middle class there. That would be the sort of person having to make that choice, probably not a poor person. Now, having to choose between a smartphone and health care coverage is a scenario Chaffetz likely can't relate to. With a net worth of at least $320,000 in 2014, he makes less than many of his colleagues in Congress and was only the 301st wealthiest lawmaker based on financial...
Well, you have a job.
I do. I have a job.
You, I mean.
Yes, I have that kind of money. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That,
money that's on its way.
Yeah. Yeah. You, week to week, but it's money,
well,
baby.
Well, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
I mean, I kind of agree with both sides.
But those things I just listed are almost viewed as necessities by people.
Almost.
I mean, they really are.
Yeah, but I think that's a big almost, because do you really need to have all those things if you cannot afford, say, you know, healthcare insurance premiums?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and they, you can always tell unemployed people because they're in the coffee shop using the free Wi-Fi.
Well, yeah, there's that, too.
That's true.
Well, I know that. They can afford a cup of coffee.
Well, yeah, and
possibly
suck on it all day.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Free refills if necessary.
Yeah. KBOI News Time.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
All right. We told you we'd get to it. We're going to get to it. House Republicans, long-awaited Obamacare replacement bill already is being met with complaints from congressional conservatives who warn the proposed legislation comes with too much cost, too much government, signaling a tough fight for GOP leaders looking to send the bill promptly to President Trump.
So they get rid of the Affordable Care Act, meaning Obamacare goes away.
Right.
Because that's the same thing.
Right.
Which we, as we discussed some time back, there are people who don't know that.
Right.
However, with the new American Health Care Act, it repeals most of the Affordable Care Act's taxes, but it actually does it at a, as a later date than originally they had envisioned. It would keep the Cadillac tax on high-cost health plans. It would delay the implementation of that until the year 2025.
Yep.
Now, what a lot of even Republican congressmen are objecting to, and they have said that they won't support it if it cuts down on the amount of federal money that's available to expand Medicaid in states. And I think this is what people are left with the Affordable Care Act being gone, is that the best thing to do would be to expand Medicaid. However, if all of a sudden you're just going to leave that up to the state and there's no federal money to be had, that's going to just put more people into the gap, I think.
On the Senate side, on the Republican Party, Kentucky's Rand Paul told Fox and Friends this morning that the proposals call to continue the original law's Medicaid expansion through 2020 before ending the additional federal aid to participating states is untenable. While the House GOP bill would nix the so-called individual mandate to buy insurance and the accompanying penalties, Paul complained that the proposal would instead let insurers add a 30% premium surcharge for anyone whose insurance lapses. So what's the difference? Paul said that's effectively a mandate, only the penalty is paid to insurance companies instead of to the government. This in all likelihood is unconstitutional, Paul said. This is Obamacare light. It will not pass. Conservatives are not going to take it.
The tax credits that have been proposed would be age-based, which is different than Obamacare, where they're income-based.
True.
But in the bill, they would be reduced for individuals earning more than $75,000 and for households earning more than $150,000. Individuals earning more than $215,000 couldn't receive any tax credits. Yeah. Now, and I don't know, the inclusion of refundable tax credits draws a line in the sand in an intra-party fight between Republicans over Obamacare's repeal and replacement. Conservatives consider refundable tax credits a new entitlement, since people who don't pay taxes can get them.
Yep.
Instead, they want a tax deduction that limits the tax liability for people buying individual insurance, which is a little bit more like Obamacare.
Legislation reflects, a balancing act. GOP leaders try not only to deliver on their campaign promise to get rid of Obamacare, but address concerns from the moderate wing that moving too drastically could result in significant reductions in coverage. Several moderate GOP senators sent a letter late Monday to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, voicing concerns about the impact on families on Medicaid. So they're thinking that's not going to work out.
Well, Medicaid. I mean, they're the ones who already were qualified for Medicaid are still going to get it like they did before. But the people who were included because of Obamacare will be excluded. They'll be back in the gap again.
Yep. All right. We got a lot of phone calls. We're going to take them after this break.
KBOI.
All right, let's get right to the phones. Got loaded phones this morning. Starting us off, Rich of Boise. Rich.
Well, okay, so the first thing that the Republicans are going to do, they're going to repeal the taxes that pay for Obamacare. So, and then borrow money to pay for their plan. there's no way you're going to be able to cover as many people with as good of insurance for less money.
Probably not even close, I would think.
Yeah, and another thing that they want to do, they talk about this access to health care. They want to go back to, under Obamacare, you had minimum plans. They had to have a minimum amount of coverage that you could sell to people. And we're going to go back to those plans, and they were junk plans. I had one. I paid into it for 8 years. Went into the hospital. It had a $3,000 deductible, by the way. That's how it was sold to me.
Yeah, mine is four.
Yeah, but I went into the hospital. The bill was, the total came to $18,000. I got a bill for $15,000 because there was a $3,000 deductible, but there was just all kinds of stuff that it didn't pay for that I had no idea that would be included because I'd never been to the hospital, so I had, I didn't know how they did things.
Yeah.
I didn't know how things were broke down, how many anesthetologists and all these people. It's just, I thought, well, $3,000, and this was 10 or 15 years ago, and that was a little bit more money than it is now, and I thought, well, I can come up with $3,000, even if I have to make payments, whatever I have to do.
Yeah.
That won't devastate me. But then when I get a bill for $15,000, I had no idea. And they're going to go back to those kind of policies, and they don't help anybody.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Rich. And all I'll say is similar thing happened to me.
David of Boise wrote in to say or ask, are there still fines with the new Obamacare?
No.
I don't believe there are. No.
Well, we went through that. There are penalties that you would have to pay to your insurance company to re-get insurance. So while there's no fines to the government, there are fines to the insurance company. So have fun with that. Yeah. Let's go to John of Boise. John, good morning.
It is. Yeah, I was just pondering this here. I'll bring up the $15 an hour wage.
Yeah.
Minimum wage. And the key word, minimum.
Yeah.
I remember when minimum wage was $1.25. I never worked for minimum wage. I never wanted to work for minimum wage. And that's the thing we're not thinking here. That Trump is not your average politician. He's a businessman.
Yep.
He understands people need to make money to live. And that's where he's coming from. Right now, on this health insurance thing, it's going to be a boggle for a little while. But I would say by next year, you're not going to hear people talking about minimum wage. And certain congressmen are going to put through a proper health care bill and get the government out of our lives.
Which group of congressmen?
Well, the ones who want to keep putting in policies to make people happy, they can't afford nothing. The ways in that, you have people today who are working two jobs, minimum wage, why? We don't have the jobs. That's why. So when you bring the jobs in and people are going out applying for a better job, you're going to be able to afford the insurance you need. And also, they're leaving out several things here, buying insurance from other insurers across state lines, wherever.
Mm-hmm.
It in your car insurance, don't you get a better deal? Can you find a better deal? I have.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. it will take a little time because people are set. Like right now, people are out, I need $15 an hour minimum wage to live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Well,
thanks, John.
It's not just minimum wage. I think it's the fact that so many jobs that used to be full-time jobs are now shared by a bunch of different people. They're all part-time jobs.
Yep.
There are companies that used to have only full-time jobs that now have almost only part-time jobs apart from management.
Yep, don't have to pay those benefits.
So you don't have any benefits at all, and you pay them as little as possible. And generally, those are the people that either you live with a lot of people in one house all paying for the same thing, or you've got more than one job.
Let's go to Pro-Life in Lethal. Pro-Life, good morning.
Good morning. You know, Rand Paul, I think he wants to get reelected. You know, when he first started in politics, he used to say that health care was not a proper role of government, and he would vote against any governmental intervention into the health care and a lot mm-hmm. of other things. And I think he's right. My position is that it isn't the proper role of government, and I would just vote against it. But there's not even one of them that's going to take that position.
Well, yeah, because it's like you said, they want to get reelected, and they have an awful lot of constituents who think that if you do get things free, then everybody should be reelected every time. What do you think about the fact that they will be the plan is to defund Planned Parenthood? You're probably for that, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that now if that's in the bill, I mean, that's good, but I would still vote against it.
Okay.
I mean, you know.
Just on principle, I mean, you'd vote against the government stepping in any form, right?
Yeah, I'm saying that health, education, welfare, recreation, medicine, and retirement, none of those are federal government constitutional proper roles
of
government.
It's true. They aren't in the Constitution.
Yeah, no, right. They're not. All right. Thanks, Pro-Life. Good stuff. Let's go to Rocky of Napa. Rocky, good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you. I don't know if you can Paul J., you probably can, but back in the 60s when I had my first child, the total bill was $125.
I paid $400 for my first child.
Yeah,
$400 bucks.
And Medicare hadn't been invented except under the liberal Lyndon Baines Johnson. So ever since then, from then till now, we've got everything has gone up in the medical business because the government is. My doctor said every month he gets hundreds of revisions to from the federal government for medical decisions, and that is a problem. I mm-hmm. mean, we never had that before. Back in the 60s, that didn't happen, and the doctors had the Hippocratic Oath, and they did what they had to do, and you went to the doctor, it cost you $10. Now it's $110 or
yeah,
more.
Every time the government. Every time the government decides that they will buy something for you, the
yes.
price of said item goes up.
No question.
Yes, absolutely. People got to realize that, so get the hell out of the federal government. Get out of here. I don't want any.
All right. Thanks, Rocky. Rocky's passionate as always.
Of course.
Scared me a little bit there.
Vincent of Boise says there will be a reported 15 million people who will lose coverage under the new ACA. Most of these people are from the poorer states that take in more government money than they give out. These are the same states that voted for Trump. Oh, the irony.
Idaho being one of those states.
A lot of people did see that on Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
Mark of Boise says if the trails are... hang on. That's a different subject completely.
We don't want to talk about that.
Okay. Dave of Meridian says, how many times have I seen on TV people at food pantries, people with tattoos all over their bodies getting assistance, same with health care? They can afford to pay a little. Give up something. It's called sacrifice. We need to end this cycle of giving handouts instead of a hand up.
So he agrees with Chaffetz.
Yeah. Essentially.
Yeah. Basically, I mean, if you're going to have cable TV, if you're going to have wireless, if you're going to have smartphones, you don't deserve free
everybody,
coverage.
Everybody should be taught how to take care of the necessities first. I do agree with that.
Yep. Yep. All right. That'll do it for today. Busy day coming up tomorrow right here on Newstalk 670 KBOI. KBOI News Time, 9:56. See you tomorrow.